Well, the first thing I want to say is good evening to everybody. And I also want to thank the men for giving me the opportunity to speak. And I want to thank everybody for their prayers. Especially I want to thank Brother Reed for his prayer. But my intentions this evening is just my lesson that what I wanted to talk about this evening, appreciating the reality of God's love. Since I don't have no knowledge of the projector, so I'll be reading. I'm asking y'all to bear with me. I'll be reading my comments and also the scriptures. So just bear with me. First, I want to read the introduction to this lesson. It says, there's nothing so important as love. We all need to love and to be loved. Can everybody hear me? Okay. We all need to feel a part. Above all, we need to belong. We need to feel a part of, to see God's love, not in physical things, but rather in spiritual truth. How many peoples have been given great gifts from their parents, but never knew love from their parents? How many peoples have everything they want except for the love of the spouse who is providing the things? You could have everything you want physically, yet that would never indicate God's love for you. You see, the atheist also next door has all these things, as you know. And he does not even believe in God. As God's children, I'm going to change a little bit. Instead of using you, I say we. We can be secure in God's love by reading and meditating upon his word. Maybe no other writer of the Bible spent as much time talking about God's love as the Apostle John. He wrote so much that he's often referred to as the Apostle of Love. He wrote 5 books in the New Testament, and all of them speaks often about love. Some of the best known passages in the entire Bible: for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. While this may be among the most famous, it is hardly the only one which John records. Jesus talks about love. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Also, to love one another. By this, all people know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. That's in John, the 13th chapter, verse 34 and 35. John also spent a lot of time discussing God's love throughout his book. The point of loving one another is a central accordance as it is shown, the love we ought to have one for another is based upon the love God has for us. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whosoever has not been born of God knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. That's John, 1 John 4:18. So, understanding God's love is essential to our happiness. The love of God must be the foundation on which we build our spiritual house. I am and I belong because God loves me. God loves for our love us is the most comforting thought in the world. His love solidifies our place in the world, and it gives us strength to persevere through adversities. It enables us to emulate His love in our lives. Loving and being loved is among the greatest keys to happiness in the world. So let us learn some things about God's love. God's love. In order to have a relationship with God, you must get to know the one with whom you hope to have the relationship. Let us ask you a very important question. When I say God, love is unconditional. How do you understand it? How do we understand the word unconditional? When I say God's love is unconditional, how do you understand? How do we understand the word unconditional? Some might think because God loves me unconditional, that means that there are no conditions in our relationship. This is not what God's love is, unconditional, means. Others might think that what we do determines God's love for us. This is not what God's love is, unconditional, means either. The Bible's concepts of unconditional love need to be explained. When I say that God love for you or us is unconditional, I am making a statement about God, not you or us. This is a statement about God love, or who God is. It is more easily understood when we focus on God. May I suggest that you focus on God in every aspect of your relationship, in our relationship with Him. To understand God's love, we must consider God's eternal nature in creation. Man was created on day six, God existed before day six because God is eternal. Therefore, God loved man before he created man. Because God was love before there even was a man to love. This is what the Apostle John writes in 1 John 4:8. If one does not know love, he does not know God. For God is love. So we stop and think about the phrase, God is love. Here is the unconditional nature of God's love. This says nothing about how we behave. This says nothing about any conditions God would later put on your behavior, our behavior. This is only a statement about God. In order to have a relationship with God, you must know him. And what you must know about him is his eternal character. Everything he is eternal. He's eternally holy, just, merciful, gracious, and loving. He is love, which means he has always been love. This also means that God cannot be or do anything else. He cannot change his eternal character. Our concept of love must be determined by God's character. His character is revealed to us in the scriptures. The reason to study your Bible is to learn the character of God. Please consider this as your interpreter, as you interpret your life. You might be tempted to believe that when you do well, then God loves you. But when you do bad things, God does not love you. And he will not love you until you start to do good again. This concept of God's love hurts our relationship with God. It puts us in the position of constantly trying to get God to love us. It's a very frustrating way of living if it is never corrected. It will lead you to despair. You will begin to believe you cannot please God, and that he is unfair and difficult for demanding so much of you or us. This despair can eventually lead to your leaving God and turning against God. Many people who hate God today many people who hate God today at one time in their life had loved God. So probably you understood, however, God's love provides our greatest motivation for loving him back. This is especially true when we learn three things. The first thing you need to know is that God loved you before. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. That's Genesis 1:31. Remember, God is eternal. He is from everlasting to everlasting. Therefore, he brought the world into existence. He was already love. It might even be argued that in some parts that prompt God to create the world. Before you was formed, God planned to, well, going back to the scriptures in Jeremiah 1:5, that God told, God planned to use Jeremiah as a prophet before Jeremiah was born. He told Jeremiah that he knew him before he was formed. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nation. Jeremiah 1:5. We all need to focus less on ourselves and more on God. He loved us before he formed us. Another aspect of God's love. Before we did anything, Paul is writing to the Romans in chapter 9, the Romans 9, verses 10 through 12. He said, "A great God to show God's sovereignty." Paul makes the case that God made choices to use certain peoples in his plan. Those peoples, Paul would point out, did not do anything to cause God to choose them. God chose them among the examples of Jacob and Esau. And not only so, but also when Rachel had conceived children by one man, our father Isaac, though they were not yet born and had done nothing, either good or bad, in order that God's purpose or election might continue, not because of works, but because of him who called. She was told the older will serve the younger. That's in Romans 9:10, verses 12. So here are three significant passages that all teach us our very important things about God's love. God loves us before he loved. He loved us before he created us. He loved us before we were formed in the womb. And he loved us before we could do anything good or bad. So the conclusion is unavoidable. You cannot do anything to get God to love you, because he loved you before you could do anything. Love, like most things in life, is learned. You should learn to love at home. If no one teaches you, it will be difficult for you to love. The great thing is that even if we do not know how to love, we can learn how to love. God will teach us, no doubt. This is why God relates to us as our Heavenly Father. As our Father, God loved us first, so we could learn how to love. This is why the ideal way of parenting our children is to emulate the way our Heavenly Father parents us. Considering that answer, this question for me, when did you start loving your children? Was it when we learned to walk, talk, read, write, or when he was potty trained, or did you love him when you first knowing you were pregnant? If you began to love your child the moment you knew you was pregnant, then you loved him before, like God. You loved him before he was born, like God. You loved him before he could see. You loved him before he could speak. You loved him before he could do anything. He did not have to earn your love. He was not so good that his goodness made you love him. No, before he could do, before he could do or knew anything, already, you already love him. So that's we as parents. We are capable of such love because God is our Father. Think about how much God loved you before he loved you before you was created. He loved you before you did anything good or bad. He has never demanded you to act a certain way or to get him to love you. He loved you before you could. This is what is meant by God's love is unconditional. You place no conditions on your love for your child because your child had your love before he could meet any condition. What happened with our children happened with us as God's children. Our love for our children does not increase as they grow, neither God's love increase for his children. What happened is our children appreciate for our love increase as they grow. Our appreciation of love given before. We even knew what love was increased as we get older. When you get older, you learn how much your parents did for you before you could do anything for yourself. Then when you become a parent, you appreciate how tough a task parenting really is. Almost everyone who reaches this point calls or visit parent to say thank you, because now he knows that he's had to earn their love. He had been loved before he could. He also it also humbles us because we realize we are totally dependent on someone else, yet they still chose to love us. Think about that with God. God loved you before he formed you. His love for you has not grown over the years, but hopefully your appreciation for his love has grown. As you have gotten older spiritually, it is also the reason, another reason for humility. We can be happy when we know that God loves us unconditionally. It was never my hair, my height, my size, my shape, my money, my color, my gender, my smile, or anything physical. It has never been about me. It was always been about God. Have you returned to your Heavenly Father? Have we returned to our Heavenly Father and said, thanks? Thank you. Maybe now would be a good time. Dear God, thank you for loving us unconditionally. Excuse me. There's another aspect to God's love. God's love, which we must learn and embrace. God's love is universal. We often put others down to build ourselves up. That's part of human history. We fight, we hate one another, we want for ourselves and not for others. For this reason, the idea of universal love seemed like a fantasy. Indeed, it would be if we were all, if we was talking about men's love. But we are not. We are talking about God's love. If you will have a relationship with God, you must take a large view of the world. It is tempting to view the world through all of our own small circles. But God is larger than my block, my neighborhood. It's larger than my city and state. It's larger than my country and my hemisphere. He is the ruler of heaven and earth. He is the Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He is the Almighty God. He has all power and everlasting, and everyone is subject to him. He is the Creator, ruler, and God of all that is. But as large as and powerful as God is, he has room to love you, love us. You must find a way to understand God's love. That God loves you personally. You are part of the universe of God's universal love. It's saddening to know that people have no problem believing God is love, but they cannot also believe that God is love for them. Unfortunately, some people grow up in homes and environments where love is not shown. This has a profound impact on how they relate to God. Our upbringing shapes our views, not simply of people, but also of God. If our father were distant and cold, we are prone to think God is distant and cold. If our Father were harsh and critical, we tend to think God is harsh and critical. If our Father were perfectionist and were never pleased, then we struggle to believe that we can please God. If our Father believe that we can please God. If our Father abandoned us, we believe God will abandon us as well. This explains so much of our interaction with God. Our minds are like tape recorders. When we hear certain words and phrases, the tape plays out pre-programmed songs, even if. Maybe especially if we are hearing those words in a sermon. When we hear the word, when we hear that God is love, our mind plays the song labeled Father. When we hear our Heavenly Father love us, the song for Father and love are played. If those songs are painful and difficult, then understanding God's love recently becomes very difficult. This must be understood. If one will understand the second important fact about God's love, the second point is that God's love is universal. Remember, God's love is unconditional. He loved you before of us. Before we was created, you did not do anything to get him to love you, because he loved you before. You couldn't do anything now to add to that. This thought, add this thought. God's love is universal. He loved you because he created the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16. Remember that when God saw everything that he had made, he concluded that it was very good. The creation included was topped off by the creation of humanity. You are a part of God's wonderful creation. We are a part of God's wonderful creation. He made it. Therefore, he loved it. You were a part of that which God pronounced very good, and no one is or can be excluded. Another aspect of God's love. Because all men share his image. When Paul preached the universal of God's love to unbelieving philosophers, they were just as included and as any devout Jew and Paul himself. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on the face of the earth, having allotted period and the boundaries of their dwelling place. It's Exodus 17:26. No one is excluded because God's love is universal. All men are made in God's image. Therefore, God loves all men. Another aspect of God's love, because all men are worthy of his love. The Lord's assessment of the world he created and the human he created to inhabit it are summed up in the awesome passage. For what will it? This is Christ speaking. For what will it profit a man if he gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? Matthew 16:26. The Lord's death on the cross demonstrates God's love for the man. The Lord's statement about the world demonstrates the worth of one human soul. If any of us could possess everything created but lose our soul, his gain would not equal to his loss. God's love is universal because every human being is worth his entire creation. We are the height of God's physical creation. He loves you because you are a human being. Stop and think about that. There is no other reason needed for God to love you. After God created man, he looked at his creation and said, "It was very good." God only created two peoples. Loving universally is not hard when the universe is two peoples. But God knew two would grow into several billions. He knew one day, we would be one of them. He loves all men because he made all men. Human beings are unique beings in the world. He made one blood of all men. There are only one, so many blood types. Thankfully, it does not matter what we look like. Anyone can use anyone else's blood if it matches. God crowned all men with glory and honor. Please appreciate the emphasis upon all men. He created all men in his image. There are no humans who are subhumans. Whatever it is that makes us humans, we all have it. Equally. In God's eyes, no one is unworthy. Therefore, no one goes unloved by God because he created everyone. It is so sad that so many of us think so little of ourselves. A low estimate of oneself will cause one to have a low estimate of others. The reason is simple. Other people are just like you. Whatever you do not like about yourself, you will find that in the other people as well. As a wise man once said to me, "Folks are folks." Our low thoughts of ourselves do not reflect God's thoughts of us. Please do not project your thoughts of yourself onto God. He thinks we are great. He thinks we are wonderful. He thinks what he made is special and important. He loves us because of who we are. He knows the number of the hairs on every one of our heads. He knows our favorite colors, dessert, songs, and shoes. He loves us for no other reason than that he made us. No sparrow falls to the ground without God's knowledge. No lion goes hungry without God's knowing it. No flower dies without God being aware of it. Now consider that. His care for none of them even come close to the care and intimate knowledge God has of us. He shared his image with us. To not love them on some level would be to not love himself. Your life, our life, will change immeasurably when you learn your worth. It is because we do not know it. That explains why we spend so much of our short time on earth doing the things that we do. Why do we spend so much time on physical things? Why do we spend so much time on clothes, shoes, and hair, and makeup, carts, all of which must be name brand? Could it be that by these things we will convince ourselves and others that we are worthy of their love? Sadly, no matter how much we invest and spend, we never really feel good enough about ourselves or the ones we are trying to please. This would change if we knew that God's love was universal and it includes every one of us equally. We know better, but we do not live better. We do not live in our lives what we try to teach our. We do not live in our life what we try to teach our children, namely, that love is not earned. It is freely given. Consider this. Like God, you started loving your children before they were born. And like God, you also love them because they were born. What did they do at the hospital? But did they do something special? Did they sing a beautiful song? Did they deliver themselves? What did they do that was so great that by it you said, now I love them? Like all who have come before them, they did nothing except one vital, crucial thing. They were born. They did not need to do anything else. And as we have already discussed, they could not. We wanted for them to be born, or we wanted for them to be born. We all went to the hospital hoping and waiting for them to come out. We were so anxious to see these persons who was already loved. Once we left the hospital, we brought them home. Likely, everything was ready. The room was waiting for them. The bed was waiting for them. Their clothes, shoes, and toys were all waiting. for them. Excuse me. In order to show them how much you love them, one thing needed to happen. They just needed to be born. Then you could share with them the love you already had for them. Friends, the same is true for us. God created the world with us in mind. He formed it for us. That's found in Isaiah, the 45th chapter, verse 12 through the 18, tells us that God formed the earth to be inhabited. Lovingly prepared, everything was ready. The sun was in the air, the grass was green, the sky was blue. The fresh birds, animals, everything was ready. But some things was missing. God spent for days preparing our room for us. He decorated it. He prepared it. The material was here for our clothes, shelter, and food. God prepared everything for us to show us how much He loved us. He just needed us to be born. Then He did not speak us into existence. No. Tenderly, gently, He reached down into the clay and formed us with His own hands. Like a father for his kiss, God breathed His life into us, and we were made alive. He loved us before we was born, and He loved us because He formed us. As God, as those two things are, they are yet incomplete. Our understanding of God's love is complete when we understand the third point. The third point, God's love is unlimited. The part of God's love may be the most difficult for us to comprehend, because we often think in terms of cause and effect as it's related to love. We struggle with this notion that there is never a time when God does not love us. When people treat us well, we love them. But when we are mistreated, it affects and often hinders our love for them. This is not true of God. Remember, God is love. He loved us before He made us, before there is nothing. There is nothing that we can do to impact God's love for us. God loved us because He made us. Therefore, there is nothing we can do to get God to love us. God even loved us when we were in sin. Therefore, there is nothing we can do to cause God to stop loving us. Sin is terrible, a terrible thing. It hurts and it destroys all who partake of it. Since God's love was never based on our goodness, our sins does not stop him from loving us. Listen to that again. Sin does not stop God from loving us. That did not say that sin does not hurt or could not sever our relationship with God. That's found in Galatians 5:4. God's love is who God is. Our sin created a problem for us with God. These things are not the same. The Bible teaches God's love us before God loved us because, and God loved us when. Another thing about God's love. For while we were still weak, in the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God showed his love for us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:6-8. When we were at our worst, God sent his best. Christ died while we were sinners. This passage absolutely validates the first two points. God's love is who God is. Since he loved us before we were created, he loved us before we did anything good or bad. Since he loved us because we were created, his love for that reason and not for some things we did. It is for these reasons that when we sin and rebel against God, he still loves us. Does sin hurt God? Yes, it does. Can sin cause us to be separated from God? And that eternally? Yes, it can. However, Romans 5:6-8 is not about God's justice. It's about God's love. These verses says that God loves us while we were sinners. This means that God's love is not limited in any way by our action. He loves us even when we rebel against him. Putting a few passages on love together, please allow a paraphrase. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son while we were sinners to redeem us back to him, back to himself. God loves sinners. Another aspect is when we enter the kingdom. Very often we read Romans 5:6-8 to extol God's love, but we stop at verse 8. But Paul says some more things that are as important as telling us that God loves us while we were sinners. He also tells us that God loves us when we become saved, since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we was reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more now that we are reconciled shall be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God's through our Lord Jesus Christ, and through whom we have now received reconciliation. Romans 5, 9 through 11. How sad is it that many of us understand God's love for us when we were in sin, but then we doubt that same love after we have obeyed God and are not of sin? Why is it more appealing that comforting to be loved as a sinner than as a saint? Paul is writing to the saints in Rome. They have obeyed the gospel. They were once lost, but now they stand saved. God sent Christ while they were in sin. This is why they were justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Because Christ came while they were sinners, it's imperative that they understood God's desire to save them. Now that they are saints, hence the great encouraging words that follows. Because we are justified, we will be saved from wrath. Remember, we are reconciled when we were enemies. Being reconciled, we will be saved by his life. Because all of this is true, Paul says, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We do not joy in ourselves. We do not joy in our good deeds. We do not joy in our great ability. No, we rejoice in God through Jesus, because he loved us when we were in sin, and he reconciled us. When we were his enemies, we have nothing of which to boast. Instead, we should humble ourselves and thank God for his amazing love. Also, when we stumble and fall, I trust that you are noting the progress of God's love us when we were sinners. When we obeyed the gospel, we entered the kingdom. And within our faithful Christian walk, we stumble and fall. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus, his son. Almost through. Cleanses us from all sin. 1 John 1:7. The unlimited nature of God's love can be seen in this passage. The walk of the faithful is a walk that includes provision for sin. Remember God's love before we could do anything, good or bad. Therefore, we was not our goodness. It's not our goodness that prompt God to love us. Remember, God loved us when we were sinners. We were ungodly towards God. We treated him with less regard and honor than he is due. And he still loved us. He loved us when we became his children, but turned our backs on him by walking in sins. Now, justified, we walk in the light, and God continues to love us. John writes, walk in light. The walk is the manner of life. It is the mode of life that characterizes the child of God. That walk is in fellowship with God. That walk is conducted in the light, not in darkness. That walk is characterized by those who hate darkness and love the light. But that walk is one in which Christians may sin. What happened? If a child of God walking in the light sin, does God stop loving him? Please remember that it was not the child walk that prompted God to love him in the first place. The verse says that the blood of Jesus keep cleansing us from all sins. A child of God may sin, but that sin is cleansed by the perpetual and powerful cleansing blood of Jesus Christ. In order to be happy, everyone needs to understand God's love. Scripturally, he never loved us more than he did before he created us. He loved us because we were born. He loved us while we were in sin. He even loved us when we stumbled. The point is that God loved us before, during, and after conversion. We must not focus on ourselves. Rather, we must try our best to understand God. What does God is love mean? To you, it is what God love mean to you. It is a statement of God. Infinite character. God is eternal. Before he ever created a thing, he was love. God never stopped loving us. Please do not try to abuse or manipulate God's love. He knows our hearts. He cannot be mocked. Do not try to take advantage of God. God is love, but this chapter has nothing to do with whatever God's require of us. Rather, it has to do with the character of God. It is to provide the proper motivation for us to serve, love, and live for God. If you will be happy, you must understand God's love for you. Focus on God and not yourselves. There is something else you need to understand. God's love does not mean God will protect you from all harm, and will protect. The invitation song has been selected. So I thank everybody for their attention, and I apologize. I probably went over, but I was trying to get through with it, and I appreciate everything. So yeah, for there being in the audience, I wish to I would say that probably if they have any need for a prayer, if you have any need, whatever your needs are, if you're subject to those needs, we ask that you will please come as we stand and sing. the invitation song.